We're holding, I believe, in beginning of Perek Tesvav.
Exactly.
Okay. The Perek Babasa Sanhedrin. It says, Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelok Lom Haba. Ve'elu She'elam Chelok Lom Haba. Choyme Yitchia Sameis Min HaTorah, that's one. And Torah Min HaShemayim is two, and Apikoros is three. Rav Akiva says, Af HaKor B'Svarim Chitzoynim. Valuchesh Alamako is someone who uses all sorts of sort of magical stuff to heal his wounds. Abasholim afahoges Hashem bas Yosef. Adkat. Bira Mishnah Koshem Oid. Eich iskir lo advor makor besform chitzayin lech shalmaka. Asher atan lo iskir. Zekusha tzuma. In other words, you have so many other averis. A person worships Avodah Zarah. A person lives with Eishes Ish. A person Mechal Shabbos. None of that's mentioned. You have so male person says a non-believer, so he's not shaykh at all to it. But when you're talking about people who are believers, but they're missing mitzvahs, I mean, Lochash Alamaka and Hagor Hashem Yosef, I mean, they're averis, but they certainly don't count as, they didn't make it in the major leagues of averis. Min advarim shem yidun lakol, shalo yikna adam shum madrega rak kimuchlas madrega. So the first thing is, now I guess what's important as a pre-hakdama to what he says is, we think of Olam Haba as being simply a place where they dish out rewards in terms of how much do you deserve, how much don't you deserve, and so on. So the truth is, yes, there may be... Yes, there is a world of getting rewards, but that's not quite chelik in Olam Haba and ben Olam Haba. You're talking about a person who is living a life that is in a very different context than a this worldly life. And you're talking about Madrigas. I don't know, I'm not aware that the Maral negates that there's a world of schar, but it's not to be confused with the concept of Olam Haba that Chazal meant over here. So now he says, if we're talking about living in a world of Olam Haba, as something which is sort of similar to this, there's a Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos at the end of Sanhedrin that says on the Mishnah of Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakeh Yisrael, the Fikach Chibur Torah Mitzvahs. So the Rambam's explanation for it is because if a person does many mitzvahs, there's a chance that at least one of them is lishma, and since lishma is a prerequisite for having Olam Haba, so that way we'll at least get Olam Haba. That's something that's very hard to understand because we're not aware anywhere that it says you have to do something lishma. I mean, you get schar for all the mitzvahs as long as it's not for a bad reason. I mean, lishma is a very, very high madrega. So the answer that's understood in the Rambam, I think the Rambam may even mention it somewhere, is that we're talking about Olam Haba in its most essential form. In other words, you're part of that world that's Olam Haba. Lishma for that is an absolute necessity. It means that the person is of a different world, of a different set, and that's and that's shaykh to the world of Olam Haba. The thing that we need to bear in mind is you can never get a madrega unless you shaykh that madrega. You can't attach something to someone if he doesn't have a receptacle for that attachment. You can't place someone in a position if there's no way that he belongs that position. And certainly if there's something about the person that is uniquely opposite, that something that the person is that really is something that would be against the very thing he wants to be attracted to. It's not befitting that he would gain it. When Chazal looked at what Olam Haba is, Amr, they said, Eilu shenchek Olam Haba. Vizer. Ki Olam Haba al shloisha dvarim. To have Olam Haba, you need three things. One is Echad Hua Poel Olam Haba, that which creates out of the world, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Poel means the one that brings it into existence, creates it, shapes it. There's nothing that comes by itself. Everything needs a force, something to put into place. Hashen is Olam Haba Atzmo. Olam Haba Shenimtza Min HaIlo Shehapol, which is a derivative of Hashem that made it. You need the person who's getting Olam Haba, who Adam. He has to be worthy. This is a classification, this is a categorization that the Maral uses in many places. Whenever I'm talking about something going from point A to point B, you have the two poles, and you have the connecting material. And that's why they chose these three things. When a person says there's no Tchias HaMeisim, that's the first one. He says, I raise a misnaged l'olam haba mitzad ha-mekabel. That means that the person himself has no place in his being for olam haba. Ke'ein etzom olam haba rak olam shavach ha-tchia. Olam haba is the world that's reconstructed when a person is he comes alive again. If the person denies that, in other words, me as what I am and as who I am, don't have it within my sense to come back again. Now, this is it's not an easy concept to digest in reality. In other words, I determine a certain level of reality for myself. And if I believe there is no world after this world, so that means that my metzias is a metzias as I am now that has no place for Olam Haba. And it's not as if I can come to the other world and say, ah, now I see that there's a world to come and so on. I am what I am when I die. And if in that personality there was no place for a world to come, for an Olam Haba, then the person has no place for it to be chal on, and it can't be chal on the person. Once again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give a person schar somehow for the good he's done. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never pays off all his debts. But it can't become part and parcel of the person. Why? In other words, if a person says there's no Torah Min HaShamayim, the concept of Torah Min HaShamayim means it's not only the technical step of HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving it to us from Shemayim. You're saying, is there something in this world that comes of another world and therefore allows it to be a bridge? So for instance, if I were to tell you, yes, I believe that there is there's another continent on the other side of the Atlantic or the Pacific, but I deny that there's any way to get from one to the other, there's no vehicle or anything can bridge that, then I'm in fact denying it. So he says, it means in this world there is nothing here that can bring me to a world that's beyond, because there's nothing within the context of this world that speaks to that world. So how does a person make that transition? Olam Haba kinyan ha'olam and divlam ha'gash. Olam Haba is the acquisition of a world that's removed from Gashmi. So if I believe there's no Torah Min HaShamayim, there cannot be a world like that I can be shayach to. Va'oid, ki olam habo achayim ha'nitzchim. Olam Haba is eternal life. Let's talk about this also, because this is also something which is which needs to be fleshed out a little bit. He's saying in this point over here that in order to have Chaim Nitzchim, which is an essential element of what Olam Haba is, we need to have the concept of Torah. Well, aren't all mitzvahs good and ruchni and spiritual and so on and so forth? So why is it that dafka Torah min hashamayim is the piece? So it said before that Torah is something that's nivdol magashmi, but he has a second pshat here, and it's a little more of a fine pshat. He says as following: anything that's physical, Olam Haba being eternal, is not just a sort of one of the elements of Olam Haba. It's something which is an essential description of Olam Haba. And the Rambam makes that statement, and it's strange. Rambam, when he speaks in Hilchos Teshuva, actually, of what Olam Haba is, he says, Olam Haba lasts forever, and it is all good. And I always say, you know, if I ask you, would you be interested in tenure? I have a job for you, it's a tenure job. So before you would say yes, you would ever so politely ask me, that's thrilling, but what exactly is the job? If I tell you the town door catcher, you may decide to turn down the offer. So when I start saying Olam Haba is eternal, what am I saying over here? So the pshat is, anything that is temporary, that has some sort of end to it, is not real. It's not emes. And therefore, when I look at my life in this world, I say to myself, you know, it's not, what's the point of it? It's temporary. It's not real. It's anything which lasts, which is temporary, is not categorized as belonging to reality. So emes and la'olam are synonymous. And all mitzvahs, so take a human being, even though our neshamas are ruchnius and they are eternal, but our guf as we have it now is not eternal, so our neshama has the same limits as our guf has. The day that the guf stops working, the neshama is gone. There's no one without the other. So when we say v'chaya oylam nata b'secheinu on Torah, it means, so all mitzvahs, let's go first, all mitzvahs, even though the spiritual element of the mitzvah is eternal, but the fact that it's attached to something, so a kezayis matzah lasts only Pesach night. Tzedakah needs to be something. So the food that I gave him is tzedakah, when it's gone, it's gone. The shoes I gave the person is tzedakah, and has a spiritual content of tzedakah, but when the shoes are over, the person needs a new pair of shoes. All mitzvahs are bound with something physical, and therefore don't quite have the ma'ale he's talking about over here. These things over here, Torah is something which is timeless. The Torah itself, the ideas of Torah and so on, because they're not bound up with something physical, they're eternal. And that's why we say V'chaya Olam Nata B'Secheinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us something that has in itself a timelessness, and that's Torah. So Olukach HaTorah Etz Olam Haba, that's why Torah is Olam Haba, because it's the one ruchnistic activity that really is not bound up with any physical needs. So just like in this world we need a body and a neshama, having Torah, having mitzvahs, that is also sort of a marriage between ruchnius and some physical entity. And therefore, it's a life expectancy is only as long as the physical life exists. Masha ein kein Torah is something which is timeless by nature. It's not bound to any physical body of sorts, and therefore it's eternal. Well, the character as a v'chein apikoyris. An apikoyros is someone who denies that there's a first cause. The Rambam, when he lists in Hilchos Teshuva, actually, the different types of heretics, so apikoyros is people who deny some of the basic tenets about God. Well, the figneka apikoyros melasha hefka. So he says apikoyros is Milosha Hefka, which is interesting. The Rambam also says so, and it's something which today people tend to associate with Epicurean, but it's not. Epicurean are just, they like physical stuff, they're materialistic. They say it comes from the word hefka. It could also be that they played on the word. These are different categories that are denying the existence of something that could possibly be eternal, and b'meila denatchayat olam haba. That's as far as the major the categories of emunah that he spoke about. So the three ein tchias ha'ismat Torah and terem hashmayim v'apikores are all people that deny pieces that are fundamental to the herring a musig of chayim nitzchim. Umashom Rizal, Eza Pikurz and Mevazas Achachem, as Mevazas as Chaver of Nechachem. Chazal give more, what's the right word, low key, lesser definitions of Apikurz. So he says, Mashom Rizal, Eza Pikurz and Mevazas Achachem, or Mevazas Chaver of Nechachem, Rotzaloima, Kein Tzorech Sheyia Kofel Gamri Bilo Besibir Shaina. So he says, what Chazal mean by it, that there are certain averis that carry within themselves the roots of it. In other words, if a person was really felt the Torah is min ha-shamayim, and the Torah has the value that he's placed on it, then somebody who carries Torah, Talmud Chacham, I would not be able to be mevazeh him. If I'm able to mevazeh Chacham, it points to a real deficiency in my my emunah. V'dava ze prikas oil asiba rishayna. Ki ilo ya oil shamayim olav, a person would honestly feel the oil shamayim, so it would lead the person away from me. If I were to give Torah its due regard, so the awe that I have for Torah, I would have for the people that pervade Torah as well. So all of these items are examples of a person whose real world practice makes him an apikoros. And you can't have an olam haba if you don't have the one who brings it into being. So these three are, so he's going back into this category, these are three people that are mesalik olam haba. V'tuch olam gam kein, ke olam haba she'achso odam v'yikabel me'achiyas, ke olam haba she'achso odam v'yikabel achiyas Hashem Yisbarach shu mashpeh achiyas. Olam haba, you can understand one more piece, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will be dovig, a person will be dovig a Kadosh Baruch Hu, since a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one that gives chiyus, as mashpia chiyus, until Olam Haba, we reached a point where we became disconnected from the chiyus of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we don't have life. You know, Olam Haba is we reconnect and we get life. Hari Gam Kein Gimel Dvarim. So we also have, again, the same three categories. Ha'adam Shechoyzeh is Chai, the person who becomes the living one. Ha'chiyus, the life force that is flowing into him, and someone says in terms of shemayim, kofa b'chayim atzmom, because Torah is chayim. That because kiloyi kan mashpia v'nois nachayim. So all of the same explanation is it touches the same nekudas that the matzav olam haba is. It requires a connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, either because, as he says now, the life is only a flow from Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's how we define life, or before he spoke about it being Olam Anivdol, Olam Hab, and so on. And therefore, if we deny one of the three critical pieces, either we don't feel that we're shaykh to that world, oh, we don't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, or that the means for Kedushas Torah exists, all three of them cancel us out of Olam Haba. So right now, up to now, he's explained the first three things in the Mishnah, that these three things are things that are, they deny one of the core elements that's needed to put Olam Haba into place. Let's put it in other words also to make it a little bit more understanding also. If I am a materialist, a real materialist, and I believe and preach that there is nothing to a human being other than a sophisticated animal. I'm just an animal that developed into a better state. So that means there is no dimension to a person that can transcend physical limitations. I mean, nobody would posit that an animal will exist forever in any way, because an animal is a physical entity. It rots, it spoils, it's gone. There's no way, there's nothing that can stay forever, because there's no part of it that we would say is forever. I mean, it's a physical entity, it's flesh and blood and bones, and it works, it has a mechanism that works, but then it doesn't. A person, if I don't understand a person to have a part of his self that belongs to a different framework. In this world, there's nothing that we're aware of that doesn't disintegrate with time. Time takes us all, everything. If rocks disintegrate, steel disintegrates, there is nothing in this world that is timeless. Everything in this world is limited by time and bound by time. So if a person, if I don't posit anything more about a person than just being a clever animal, better developed animal, then there's no place for Olam Haba. To have Olam Haba, I need to posit a part of the person that I can call the person, that Be'etzim is not shaykh to it, that there's a world like that, which in which that part of a person is a citizen of, and someone brought that into being. Okay, that's as far as the first three categories go. Omna, Rav Akiva Hoisev Oichtaim. Rav Akiva brought two more examples. V'rotze b'zeh, what does he want for that? Kiloy levar el gion dvorim shem silkol medil v'gam mekol kol. It's not only these three things that are total denial of a vital component. Rak af hanoitim ha'habadim in a small nevram ha'habo. If a person veers off course, and it's Olam Haba, and this would be very similar in a sense to the Rambam that speaks about Lishma. Let's describe this little bit of a deeper point. In all the middos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has and wishes us to emulate, there are gradations. Kindness comes with extraordinary kind, somewhat kind, more kind, less kind, and so on. It allows for gradations. There's one midah that Kedusha, for instance, allows for gradations. There's one midah that by its nature doesn't allow for gradations, and that's emes. Emes, you can't have gradations. I could have certain places where I told the truth or is not, but each point in itself is a yes or a no. I have a friend of mine in Eretz Yisrael, an American who was very friendly with Shlomo Kalbach, the singer. So they were once sitting and he asked him if the story about Schwarzwolf, it's one of his stories that he tells over, is a true story or not. And Shlomo Kalbach got very annoyed and said, "What do you mean, Elimeir? It is one of my truest stories. It's one of my truest stories." And you know, the word "true" as coming with in different formats between superlative or different values is, it's either true or it's not true. Emes is something that is very total. And therefore, it doesn't allow veering. That's the Pshat in the Rambam when he speaks about Lishma. Lishma means I targeted dead center the reason for the mitzvah, the purpose of the mitzvah, the whatever it is. Anything that sort of is different, anything that veers, is not hitting that midah at all. So within each mitzvah, for instance, there's the mitzvah itself, eating a sukkah, and then there are many, many different angles. I could do it because of social pressure, I can do it because it's very pleasant outside, I can do it because I feel guilty, or whatever. But none of those hit bullseye the content of it. So he says, anything, and he's going to bring example how these two veer from the emes, takes me away from emes, and once I get away from emes, and there's some sort of shade this way, that way, I'm back into trouble again in terms of this world of emes, because only emes is kaim la'ad. Anything that's not emes doesn't stay, because that's its nature. Anything that's not emes is dependent on something. It's a temporary truth, so to speak. It doesn't last. So he says, you don't need to do something that's the polar opposite. If you veer, that's also you don't have olam haba. And I'll explain. Sforim chitzoinim are aberrations of emes. They contain in themselves elements of emes, but it's already moved off to a side. Katerim lamedes derech emes derech hayosha. Vilos form chitzoinim lamladam dvorm shem mamish. So things that are not 100% true and clear distort it. So a person who's not osik at all in learning or in reading or whatever it is, so whatever he does, whatever he doesn't do. But here it's something that moves him away from the emes. Because sfarim chitzoinim are things that are not truth in an absolute sense, something that you can say less and stays around. So bedovas a sermer olam haba, olkach olam haba. V'chein halochish mina. So one direction is of one, so you have two directions of veering from that point. One is where I look outside of that point for guidance. So instead of looking only in Torah for guidance in life, I look at other things also. That's one way of being sar from Torah. V'chein halochish mina olkach olam haba hu mishtamish b'Torah ledovas v'hefach Torah. He's using Torah for something it's not meant for. Shetia Torah refuah leguf. Kia Torah hu sichli v'mishtamish b'Torah ledav gufni. So he's using Torah, which is ruchnius, for some very finite physical use. That's also not right. V'zeu asaras mimailas atar asichli z'in gufni shefer asichli. Ukvar amarnu kia Torah olam haba ba'atzma k'shedun v'inim v'chachomim. So you have two ways in which to do particular averis that fall on the same axis as these averis. One is when you blur the line as to what constitutes emes, and you incorporate other sfarim and things which are less than emes. That's one. And the second one is when I use Torah itself for goals that are not ruchniistic and emes and so on and so forth, but rather for healing the guf. V'zeo asor ma'as ha-tera sikhzi en gufni shuhefech ha-sikhli. V'kvar amarnu ka-tera olam haba ba'atzma k'shtun v'inu chom. And, you know, I've explained before that Torah within itself is meant to be olam haba. It's a type of environment. It's a type of ruchnius that's pure ruchnius. And when a person veers from that, he doesn't have olam haba. Ve'elu shnei dvarim, he says, ha'echad ha'korei b'sfarim ha'chitzaynim. Vashen is alokos al-maka, hey, masor me'atari min ha'smol. So these are two midas, right and left. In other words, these are two ways. One is that he sees other sfarim, he broadens his sources, which is an unwarranted enlarging of where his input is coming from, and one is where he uses it to heal his goof, which is an unwarranted constriction, where he uses Torah for a physical world when it's meant to be a ruchnistic world. He won't go looking for advice and understanding of life from sfarim that don't have. Use Torah also to heal. So gives us doesn't further explain more points over here, but I think what he's trying to say is that it's Yimin is small, I guess that's the direction he's going to. Finally, Vabashol Hoysiva Hoygashem Hoysi Shaloi, Zagamke Shaitzimalam Haba. Kashema Zewa Shema Muchid Ruah Lahalamoisai. Kumashadosh Hazal Akosov Zeshmil Oilam La Olam Ksiv. Ki Ruah Lahalam Sashem, Kiesh Lashema Muchid Madreganam Zitzfuna. Umisha Hoygashem says of Yitzim Madreganam Zitzfuna, Okakalam Haba. So, he says, where you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name out using the physical oisis is a problem, because HaKadosh Baruch the relationship of that, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is not meant to be pronounced, has to do with the quality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is transcendental. His whole mahus is above and beyond. Expressing it in words and letters is making it physical, and that's once again it's reducing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to very physical mitzvahs. Ke'olam abayi shem adrega nematzfona dechsib ma'araf tufcha shantarecha vo'ayayin ha'meshum hazeig m'losid v'dvor ma'ay l'brurim v'yafshatak mizayis l'ahel m'lesash v'ayla. He's kind of playing on his own theme, and he's saying, I can't explain more because then I'd be giving away too much. I think he's sort of, basically saying, I've just gone through explaining that explaining and elaborating too much is a type of, misuse of Shem Hashem. Rak ha-chocham yaskel dvorem ken divri chocham moed mashom zga mishnah zois, v'raiv zah mishnah chamura. So basically, the point that he was using, in general, what he was trying to make here is that Torah is the Ruchni is a Ruchnistic entity. It's meant for Olam Haba is directly gotten through Torah, because Torah represents that type of world where it's Kuloi Ruchni and so on. And a person is and the Averis that says to keep a person away from Olam Haba will have to do with some sort of aberration along this theme. Okay, we'll hold it here. Sure.
What are Sfarim Chitzonim?
That is very unclear. It ranges from, I think the Gemara says Apocrypha. The Gemara says the Ben Sira. Gemara gives an example of Ben Sira, which is part of Apocrypha. Those were books that were written in the latter part, they were written in Baisheni at some point. Now, some say that it was because the Christians incorporated their Bible to serve as a bridge to the New Testament. That's why they were so severe about it. That's kind of an academic explanation. The Gemara says because these are books that were written with human wisdom, and therefore they contain in themselves a mixture of good and worthy things to things that are really nonsense. Gemara gives a few examples from Ben Sira, which actually quoted in the Gemara a few times. Ben Sira is sort of a takeoff on Mishlei. So people have extended it Sfarim Chitzonim would mean philosophy books, in any type of philosophy, or I guess by a very, very broad definition, anything other than Torah. So, but in the Mishnah itself, the Gemara says the example of Sfarim Chitzonim is like Sefer Ben Sira, which is one of the Sfarim we have in the Apocrypha, and it's something which the Gemara actually quotes in a few places. And the Gemara says there are some very, very good lessons in there, and there's some things that are absolute nonsense. So that's Sfarim Chitzonim. Okay, what's the story next week?
So next week we're actually hosting a Simchas Beis Yeshiva here.
Oh, okay,
so
it's good. Not gonna.
The following week, I imagine works.
Okay, I may actually be in Lawrence for Shabbos, so I don't know. We'll check in before Shabbos and we'll see. Okay.
Great.
Kol tov, good fach. Bye.
Okay.